Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Christensen. Thanks so much for listening today. I hope you pick up some clinical pearls that you can apply to your practice as you grow and evolve in your medication education, wherever you're at this point. So with that, you can track me down, reallifepharmacology.com. Also, go take advantage of that free PDF. 31-page PDF with the top 200 drugs and important clinical pearls that I've pulled out for each of those drugs. Very unique resource for any healthcare provider. You can also track me down on LinkedIn if you'd like to connect with me there. Feel free to do that as well. So let's get into it today. Methylphenidate is the medication of choice that I'm going to cover. And there are lots of different formulations of methylphenidate. There's extended release, immediate release, transdermal. I'm not going to break those down a ton in this podcast, but definitely be aware that we can utilize different formulations for different purposes based upon patient characteristic and factors. With methylphenidate, the primary use that I see this drug used for in clinical practice is its stimulant type effects in the management of ADHD. Rarely, I think I have seen it for narcolepsy. I have seen it used off-label in depression as well. So a few other uses that you may stumble into. I also have seen it used in geriatric patients to help stimulate energy, which I generally cringe when I see that in most cases there. So very, very important drug to be careful with because we do have a good potential for adverse effects as well. So you always want to make sure the benefits of the drug outweigh those potential risks. So from a mechanism of action standpoint, methylphenidate inhibits the reuptake of dopamine and norepinephrine in the brain. Now the net effect of that is it essentially leads to more dopamine and more epinephrine action in the brain. And those are, in a good sense, in a large sense, stimulatory type neurotransmitters in general. That's why it's classified as a CNS stimulant there. There is a boxed warning with the use of methylphenidate. This drug is a controlled substance. It absolutely can lead to the risk of addiction and dependence, as well as development of tolerance and withdrawal symptoms when that drug is abruptly discontinued or reduced in a very, very quick fashion there. Other concerns regarding adverse effect profile, insomnia and anxiety, these drugs, again, they can stimulate patients, so that's definitely an anticipated potential adverse effect. Being a stimulant, they can also contribute to weight loss. So definitely that's an important monitoring parameter to think about, especially in pediatrics where we're concerned about proper growth and development. These stimulants can potentially stunt or inhibit that if they're suppressing appetite and causing weight loss. Also, you think about, or I think about norepinephrine specifically, blood pressure changes, so increasing that blood pressure. Also, potential for cardiac alterations, increasing the heart rate. So, both important things to consider and monitor in our patients for sure. So if you remember in general, I think, at least the way I remember them is, you know, these stimulant type drugs, they really amp people up. So the anxiety, the weight loss, the heart rate, blood pressure, all these things can be problematic due to those stimulant-type effects. One last one I did want to mention. Pretty rare that you're probably going to run into a patient that we're looking to use methylphenidate in. But if you've got a patient with seizure disorder, there is potential associations with it increasing the risk of inducing a seizure there. So one last important thing there to look out for that I wanted to mention. Pharmacokinetics, I have seen this come into play definitely in clinical practice. If we think about using these medications in a child, adolescent with ADHD, we've got to recognize that these patients are going to have challenges with their schedule potentially, and when should they take that dose, and when's the appropriate time to take that dose. With that said, we need to think about the kinetics, and we need to think about the half-life of these drugs. And I've come across a situation where it had a younger child that was struggling with insomnia at night, and they were taking twice daily dosing of their methylphenidate. Well, it turned out they were taking longer acting methylphenidate later in the day. As you can imagine, that would definitely lead to lingering concentrations kind of later on in the day, and that stimulant type effect caused a significant amount of insomnia. So we can get away with this by potentially using different formulations, making sure that timing is done early enough in the day. And those are two big ways that we can potentially avoid that situation in a patient who's obviously benefiting from the methylphenidate in their management of their disease state. So let's take a quick break, and then I'm going to wrap up on drug interactions. Speaking of drug interactions, I am going to be creating a book which will be out very soon, if it's not out already by the time you listen to this podcast. So all the clinical resources I've got, definitely go support our sponsor, meded101.com/store. We've got everything from pharmacist board certification study materials to clinical books, clinical reasoning type series for clinicians and nurses and any other healthcare professional that has to help patients navigate and manage medications. So definitely go support the sponsor. Support this podcast by doing so. Go check out free and paid resources there at meded101.com/store, STORE. So finishing up here on drug interactions, I think the first thing to note, or the easy thing to kind of note with methylphenidate and some of these stimulants, is the effects that they can have due to their adverse effect profile. So if we're managing a patient for hypertension, we can recognize that methylphenidate can exacerbate hypertension. It can raise that blood pressure. Same thing with something like atrial fibrillation. Again, probably not incredibly common in a pediatric patient, but if we are using this in a patient as they get older, could potentially increase that heart rate and increase issues in that respect. Another one I wanted to mention, bupropion can raise the risk of seizures. So in combination with methylphenidate, we can kind of have a little bit of an additive type effect there. MAOIs, which in clinical practice, it's pretty rare that you'll see these medications used. However, because of their potential to create a hypertensive type reaction in combination with a stimulant that can raise blood pressure as well, is contraindicated to use these medications together there. There is a minor potential for methylphenidate and some stimulants to have serotonergic type effects. Now, in the grand scheme of things, I don't consider this a very strong effect or a very big concern typically. But if you were to have a patient on a very high dose SSRI or other medication that can increase serotonergic activity, it's definitely something you should at least think about, monitor, recognize patients who may be displaying signs and symptoms of something like serotonin syndrome. So I think that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you picked up a few pearls listening today. If you enjoy the show, leave a rating, review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. Greatly appreciative of that there. Again, go check out that free resource at reallifepharmacology.com. You'll get that simply for subscribing and following when we've got a new podcast episode available or other things new and up and coming there. So go take the time to leave that rating review if you haven't done so. Greatly appreciate that. And I'm going to sign off for today. Thanks so much. Take care. Have a great rest of your day.